Hi, I am Alicia Jones. I'm 16 years old and a part of the Alaska Jack and Jill Alaska chapter. I'm here with Miss Rosa L. Hobbs Foster of Anchorage, Alaska. We are currently sitting in her home, surrounded by her pictures, her videos, and many articles. She is a friend, a godmother, a leader in the community, an Alaska pioneer, and so much more. Miss Rosa, I have some questions for you. Would you like to answer them?
Oh, I would. Yes, I would. Yes.
My first question is, where did you grow up, Miss Rosa?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Petersburg, Virginia, 21 miles south of Richmond, Virginia. You don't know that, but that's where I grew up. Petersburg, have military bases there. You have the military, Fort Lee, Virginia, on one side. On the other side of where we lived was Virginia State University. I went to Blanford School, Blanford Elementary School. All of my teachers were teachers from Virginia State University. At that time, of course, it wasn't the university, it was Virginia State College. And later they named it Virginia State University. I grew up and went to elementary school at Blanford, and then I went to Virginia State University. Now, been retired for graduated from college 60 years ago.
Yeah. Wow.
60 years ago. Have a major in elementary ed, and master's in elementary and administration, and became a principal. Came to Alaska in 1961 with my husband, who was military. Met Mr. Bill Foster in 1953, and we got married in 1956. And then we had two kids and came to Alaska in 61 with the military. So I've been in Alaska since 1961.
That's a long time. My second question is, what was your childhood like?
Oh, you want to know how I grew up? Oh, it was truly awesome. I grew up in a family of three girls. Each one of us were 2 years apart, and I was the youngest one. So I learned a lot from them. And so my scolings were very limited because I learned from them things that I should not do. And so, but I had a wonderful life. I was around my grandmother most of the time, and my mother and my father, after I was born, he was a musician. He played the piano.
Hmm.
And so he wanted to pursue his profession, so he left and went to Pittsburgh. And my mom was supposed to follow him, but however, she decided she wasn't going to. So we stayed right there in Petersburg with my grandmother. And most of the time, I had my grandmother, both grandmothers were there, and we were going from one grandmother to the other one. But my mother's mother, who was Leonie, was the one that influenced me the most. I was there with her. She just talked, and the words that she would say would just knock you out. I mean, you had to believe what she was saying. She would say sometimes, she would say, "Oh, Rody, you can't hang with that guy. You know, you can't be with that guy." And I mean, you realize that, because later on, as I grew up, I realized that I should not be hanging with that guy. And I always knew, though, that I went to school and I was very active and involved in my academics. I remember when I was a third grader, I used to sit in after school and read to my third grade teacher, who, in fact, when I went to Virginia State, she was married to this professor at Virginia State, Dr. Nicholas. And when I went to Virginia State, I had him as one of my professors.
Hmm.
And so I've always been very close to the Nichols family. And you know what? They came to Alaska. After I grew up and graduated from Virginia and left Virginia and came to Alaska, you know, Alaska is everybody's bucket list. And
right.
So they decided that they wanted to come, because when I would go back to Petersburg, I would always go to the campus of Virginia State and I'd take a class. I had to take a class, you know, got to keep my certificate up. And so I would take a class and I'd see the professor, and he would say, when we retire, we're coming to Alaska. I said, well, just come on, you know, we'll be there. And it's so amazing. They came to Alaska, and they called my house. My husband answered the phone. Mr. Billy answered the phone, and he says, there's a Dr. Nicholas on the phone. I said, oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah, they're my teachers back there from Virginia State and Blanford Elementary School. And so I talked to them, and so later on we went down to the hotel, picked them up, and brought them to our house, stayed a while. Next day we went over, picked them up, and took them to dinner, and just said fellowship with them. And after that, 2 years later, no, much later in that year, I guess, they were still on this cruise to Alaska. They left Anchorage, went to Fairbanks, and then went to Sitka, and on down to Seattle, Washington. That was a year that Deltas were meeting in Seattle, Washington. And, of course, I saw some of my sisters. And they said, "Oh, Rosa, did you know that Dr. Nicholas is in this hotel?" I said, "Oh, yes, I do, because they just left Alaska." How wonderful.
Yes.
And, of course, I got a chance to go up there and visit with them again, too. But I left that something very important. When I would go back to Virginia State, I would always visit my third-grade teacher, Dr. Her name was Goldie Nichols. I would always go back and visit. So one day, she was sitting there watching her stories. And while she was watching her stories, I'm trying to talk. And she said, "Oh, no, don't talk. I got to watch my stories." So I would go and sit and wait till she finished watching her stories. That's how funny. We had such a relationship. It's just so awesome. But that foundation that I had at Blandford School is the one that set me on my course, that I knew I wanted to be a teacher. And it's so amazing. You know, at that time, money was very scarce. I didn't know how I was going. Got a few scholarships, you know, $25. And
wow.
$25. My last tuition that last semester was $85.
Wow.
I had $84. I asked my sister, "Dorothy, don't you have a dollar?" And she said, "Yeah, child, take this dollar." So I took that dollar, completed that tuition. And that was it for my 4 years at Virginia State. A
wow.
tuition of $85.
$85.
Now it's $8,500 or more.
Yes.
But that was so amazing, and it's so awesome in my life. I can't thank God enough for it, for allowing me to just follow on that path. My grandmother used to say, "You can do anything you want to do. You can be anything you want to do." I had to believe her. Man, I had to believe that. And today, this is what I say to kids and young folks and you and your mom and everybody and your dad. You can do anything you want to do. A believer. This is very important in my life. I was around a lot of very positive people when we lived on Blandford, that area in Petersburg, known as Blandford. And everybody in Blandford was not supposed to go to school, according to somebody. I don't know who that was. But some of us did, and quite a few of us did go. We were called day students because we didn't stay at home, because we didn't stay on the campus. We were called day students mm-hmm. at that time. I don't know what to call them now, but that's what it was called at that time. And so the amazing thing is I used to, I'm going to go back a little bit, when I was, after I graduated from elementary school, then to go to the junior high school was across town. Remember now, this is in the late, I graduated from high school in 1952. Mm-hmm. And so this is the early 50s in the 40s. And anyway, we had to cross town, everything, you know, there was segregation. And so we had to go cross town to the junior high school. So we had to catch the bus. And we did. And then as you left the junior high, you went to the senior high, which was Peabody High School. And I met new people from other parts of town. And I began to hang out with those folks who were going somewhere. I thought they were going somewhere. We thought we were going somewhere. But, you know, we were going somewhere. Because we all, those people that I used to hang out with, we all went to college for the most part. And this one friend of mine, Shirley Pilgrim, she's not Shirley Gordon. Shirley's parents were proprietors of the funeral home in the town. A big funeral home. For some reason, they all loved Rosa. And so they would take me with them when they would go to places, you know. We'd go to Richmond, for an example, the big city, go there and shop and whatever. And so they would take me with them. Mm-hmm. And just other people across town that I became very friendly with. And it's amazing because we grew up all the way very close. And so when it was time to go to college, she went to Hampton and I went to Virginia State. And so we're not as close, but because of that experience that I had with them and that family, they kind of took me over, you know, and just such encouraging family. And so my church, I grew up in Bethany Baptist Church, Petersburg, Virginia. Reverend James was the pastor, and I can remember just being sitting there, and my mother's mother went there. My father's mother went to another church, but this church was Bethany Baptist Church. I have to talk about Bethany. It's where I met Christ there at the age of 12, and we were sitting on the mourner's bench because we had revival. And at revival time, you know, everybody comes up, mostly these kids. So we all go up there and sit. We were all 12 years old, and we're sitting on the mourner's bench. When they opened the door of the church, I never forget that. All of us jumped up. We jumped up and joined the church. But what I want to say is I joined the church. That's when I first met Christ. But I have matured as you get older and learn what it's all about, you know, and stay in His Word. I have matured, and now I'm so thankful for the maturity that I do have in my life about Christ. Christ is so awesome, and I have that belief in Christ, and I know that's really what has sustained me. I forgot to talk about my kids. I have two kids, Denise and Donald. Both of them grew up in Alaska. They were 2.5 and 3.5 when they came to Alaska, and we lived on Fort Richardson for about 13 weeks, and then we came back to Anchorage, and went to the school, the elementary school here, Airport Heights. All my kids did, and it's Don, my son, has this teacher, his first grade teacher lives across the street from the school. She still does now. She's still living across the street from the school. And I forgot, but Billy passed, and my husband passed, and we were...
About Mr. Bill, how did you guys meet? Mm-hmm.
We met at that time. I told you we had the military base there, Fort Rich. There were two places when I grew up where you would go. You go to Fort Lee, down there in the military base, or you met people on Virginia State. For me, that was my interest. And so, of course, we met Billy, and we used to go. Now, because we girls, we used to get on the bus and go down to Fort Lee. And Miss Lily, bless her heart. Sometimes Miss Lily would say, she'd tell my grandmother that she saw Dorothy and Rosalie getting on the bus. But we were not getting on the bus, but I wasn't going to say Miss Lily was lying, because, you know, Miss Lily did not lie. No, Miss Lily didn't lie, but sometimes she was wrong sometimes. But anyway, I have to tell you about this one. You know, I've always known what I wanted to do, and very forward in my thinking. And so I met this guy, he's living today, named Finley. I have to say this. His name was Finley, Tom Finley. I liked him, but I didn't love him, but I liked him. He was just one of my passing through. And I met him, and so I was going to Virginia State at the time when I met him. And he was a nice person, but I had this girlfriend named Otia. And so somebody told me, he said, you know, Rosa, I think Otia liking Finley. I said, oh, where is this problem there? So I called her and asked her, let's meet at the grill. Let's meet at Virginia State, because she was going too. I was a year old and she was. I said, let's meet at the grill. So we met down there. I said, let me talk about something. So we got down there and I said, I understand you're liking Finley. What? I said, oh, yeah. I said, but you know what? You have him. You got him. I said, I'm not in love with him. You have him. And that was the end of that. That was the end of that relationship real quick. So, of course, he came by the house that evening, and I said, why are you here? He said, what? I said, why are you here? I said, you better, you know, you need to go on back, you know, to you. He said, ooh, you got me wrong. I said, no, I'll take that to my grave, and I'm going to take that to my grave. That part I'll take with my grave. And he's still living today. He's living today. He's in an assisted living home. And so I did go, so then I met Billy. Fort Lee met Billy, Mr. Billy. That was it. That was it. And so Billy and I got married in Maryland. And so then later on, you know, we had these two kids and came on up here in Alaska. But you know what's interesting about it? My life is, I don't know if you remember, you probably don't know, but anyway, they launched Sputnik in 1958. And I was teaching in Virginia. And so at that time, right, let's see, 1958, I was teaching in Virginia, but I taught in North Carolina before I came to Virginia. Right out of college, I spent a year in North Carolina. So then I started teaching in Virginia after the kids were born. They were born. And my grandmother used to babysit. And 58, Russia was launched. Russia was launched in 58. And when they did, when Russia launched Sputnik, the United States realized that we had a deficiency in math and science. So they passed the National Education Defense Act. And that act provided for training for teachers, what they call Institute of Math and Science, that they taught around the country every year. And this, when 1961, we went into school. I was teaching in Hopewell, Virginia, and we had our staff meeting. The principal had a bunch of brochures on the table. I picked up the brochure. It said Math and Science Institute, University of Alaska, Fairbanks. Now, this is the first part of January, right after Christmas. And so I said, oh, wouldn't that be neat if I could get a master's from University of Alaska, Fairbanks? And my coworker said, oh, are you sick? I said, no, just be neat. 2 weeks later, Billy came in and said, my husband came in, Billy, and said, we're going to Alaska. I said, yeah, you bring orders, I know we're going. That was January. March the 31st, we arrived. March 31st, I resigned my job. April the 21st, we arrived in Alaska. May the 28th, 1969, I received my master's from the University of Alaska, Fairbanks.
So, Miss Rosa, that's good. I'm loving your story so far. I like to just tradition and ask you another question. So, what is your favorite memory of me and my family?
Oh, what a question. Oh, listen, I remember when your mom, I'm going to go back to your mom, when your mom first came to Alaska, I was a Delta, and of course she was a Delta, this black woman coming up here, young, articulate black woman from Georgia, Watley, you know, and she came with such special attributes, a loving, and we just connected very then. She was a warm, highly intelligent young woman, articulate, knowledge, had the knowledge that I'm going to share. And we're going to share it from each other, and we have shared from each other. She's awesome. She's a part of my family, and I just love her so much. I like her attitude. I just like every aspect about her life, how she's lived. And then before you guys came along, I said, I remember MJ, you know, before she got married to Mitch and all of that. And then MJ comes along. In fact, I held MJ in the hospital there before your mom did, you know?
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that was special because she was special in my life. And so it's just awesome. And they've been just like too young, too added on to my family, two more in my family. And her, and now you guys. So actually, there's five more in my family. And you know what? And I'm just going to share this because I think it's important. Vera and Mitch and you guys have been so very close to me. People often ask me, why am I in Alaska at this time by myself? But I'm not by myself because I have that love that I know is genuine. And this is so critical. At my age now of 83, I know that if I stomp my toe, that Vera, Mitch, and others, and you guys, are going to be here. And that's very special, very special. You guys came along, man. I was so happy for you guys. And you're coming into a family that's real, and I can see the results. And I'm so happy. I'm just so happy today to be a part of it. Yes. So anyway, you know, we don't see we don't always talk all the time, but we got it. That love is there. And we got to remember that when you meet people, make relationships, and I have that with your family. I know I can go there and stay all night and all day, and you guys can come here and do the same. That's very special. You know, that's kind of leaving our culture now. But we got to go back to it, particularly the black culture. We've got to go back to that. We've become so independent. Mm-hmm. But I'm often asked, what is it about me while I'm still in Alaska? And my kids are on the East Coast. But my kids also know that I have love here. Your family is one of those special loves that I have here. And I'm just happy to be here to share that with you, child. You know, it's awesome. Awesome. Just to smile all the time. This is what it is, you know. And I'm just happy. And oh, she's just a giver. A giver. I won't forget that. And I'm thinking about my grandkids and all that. The Vera, I remember all that you have contributed to our family. And I just want to be the same, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You know, I could talk all day, but I know we got to stop.
Oh, you did.
Now, for your great-grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren listening from years now, what is any wisdom that you would like to pass on to them and let them know?
Okay, you know what? Because I have this wisdom from my grandparents, I want my great-great, you know, and I have four and four. Now, listen, I have two kids, four grandkids, and four great-grandkids, and one of those, I got a set of twins, boy and a girl, is Christine. My kids are Denise and Don, and Denise had Christine, Clifford, Courtney, and my son had Donovan in his later years. But so I have eight, I have two kids, four grands, then I have four great-grands. The four great-grands are Devondre, Destiny, and Demita and Damari. They are the twins, and they're all on the East Coast, and I'll see them soon, I hope. But anyway, we'll be going down there to see them soon. Yeah, and so I want them to know that, first of all, I want them to know who you are and whose you are. You know, you are Christ's child. God created you in his image, and I want you to carry that. I want them to be able to carry that, know who you are, take your path, find out the good path, and stay on that path, regardless of others. Stay on that path that you're on. Find out what it is early that you want to be, but it's never too late. It's never too late to know what you want to be and who you want to be. And you don't let others define you, all right? You define who you are. And you stay on that path. I'm on the same path. I'm going to share this with you. My principal used to say, Miss Foster, when I was teaching school, Miss Foster danced to the beat of her own drum. But I was on that good path, that good drum. And he knew that because whenever anyone came to that school, he would send people to my classroom because he wanted to share what I was doing. And you know what? And I guess he just thought so much of Miss Foster was an encourager to me to go into administration. All of my evaluations were, Miss Foster, you need to go into administration. And so he kept doing that and saying that so much. And I thought, I do need to move on because I have a lot to share. And he would always say, Miss Foster, they're having this conference in California. So you to go down there, Miss Foster, you can go and then you can go to the school and observe at this one school because we are working on a particular program at our school. This one guy had come from California, and he brought that idea of the individualized teaching. And we worked on that program. We met together and talked, and we wanted to organize that particular program. So I got to go to the school and see it. So I just got to go there, and then I got to go to Seattle. So it's just good. My teaching years in Alaska were truly awesome, you know. In going to administration, I was the first black principal at Huffman Elementary School. I was the first black principal at Huffman Elementary School. I came up, I think I was the second black teacher in Anchorage. In 61, the first black teacher came up in 59, and her name was Ethelda Davis now, and she came up in 59 from California, and I came up in 61. And when they hired us, three military wives, we were all military wives, but we were hired in 61. Of course, they left, two of them left, but I stayed. And so that's kind of special, I think. Yes, so I've just seen.
It is.
Yeah, we've just seen Anchorage grow, and we moved in this neighborhood, the second black folks in this neighborhood called City View. And so my kids were the first one at Airport Heights. The first students to go to Airport Heights, Don and Denise. And so there's a little bit of history there, of course. And I want to say something else about Mr. Billy. I'm bearing, but I have to share this, you know. Mr. Billy was absolutely wonderful, absolutely most wonderful, giving, caring man, not only to his family, but to the city and to the state of Alaska. he became the he came here in the military, and at first they didn't have a job. They didn't have one for him. He was a master sergeant. Didn't have one for him, so they sent him downtown to the in the housing authority to find housing in this town. In 61, there was no available housing. And if you had four or five kids in the military, you could not come at that time because there was no housing. Housing was very limited at that time. And Miss Billy and this Air Force guy were sent downtown to the housing authority. And if you came up to Alaska, they had to know where your housing was because it was not available. So he stayed there. And then pretty soon after the earthquake, he retired and started working for the federal government with HUD. And when the black churches were around where they wanted to build this new federal building in Alaska. And so Billy was in this meeting with all the big wheels, the mayor and the governor and all these guys, and they're saying, we want that black church, Shiloh, we want it. And so Billy's in the meeting. And, you know, when the government wants anything, they can take it by eminent domain. And so he got out of that meeting, and he called the pastor, Shiloh, Reverend Patterson, and told him that they're going to take your building, but they're going to offer you some money before they take it. So I want you, and he told him. He said, now, when they offer to you, take it, because they're going to take the building. And as it were, they took the money and built that facility where they have today. And God has been so good. And I see Rem Patton. Billy is past, of course, but I see Rem Patton, and he talks about it all the time. So Billy had a big hand in that, and so I do remain at New Hope. But he was baptized at New Hope, and so that's our church. All of our kids were baptized there, and that's our church. Been a member there since 1967, and just has been there for all these pastors that have come through. But I've been on the pastor search committee with the exception of this one. But it's all good. And I love the church and love giving. I love giving. I love serving others. And that's what I want to do. If my legacy is to be a servant, to be a servant. Do for others as you want them to do unto you. And even sometimes you might do and you may not give it back. You may not get it back, but you're going to, God already has a plan. You'll get it back from some other place. So I just want to give. God gives to us so that we may give. Keep that in mind. And he has everything. There's no need. When you have a need, go to God first, because he has all the answers. And know that he will provide it. Know that he will. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm so thankful as I sit here today sharing this. That's why I'm in here in Alaska by myself, because God's already taken care of me. This is where I need to be, because this is where I can do my service. I know it. And so I'm just so thankful for all of the young people that have been in my life. And I have to think about my 80th birthday party, and which was my young children. I think they are my children. They decided, three of them decided, that they want to do something for my 80th birthday. And so they called and they talked, and they wanted to give me a dessert reception, which they did too. And that happened in February. My birthday is January 24th, but this happened in February after I had come back from Virginia with my biological family, who threw the birthday dinner down in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And so I came back, and the dessert reception and all the community members, everybody was there at the Lusac Library. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. And as this one particular aspect of that luncheon, that evening, was one of my former students was then 3 years ago, she was 46. So she called me at my house and she sang happy birthday to me in January. And I said, who is this? And she said, and I said, where'd you get my number from? She said, online. And I said, oh. And so she said, I never forgot your birthday. Never forgot your birthday. Anyway, I said when it was coming time for my dessert reception celebration, I invited her to come. She came and brought a cookbook that I used to borrow from her mom every Thanksgiving when I was at that school. And she said, we want you to have that cookbook. That was truly awesome. So, you know, and my thing is to do and give, because God has it all. And it will come back. You are a giver. It will come back to you. Yes. So anyway,
Miss Rosa, what would you like to be remembered for?
I just said that. I want to remember that be the servant. Know who you are. That's critical. Know who you are first, you know, and then you can give and do. And so, anyway, just remember me like that. That a giver.
Well, we thank you so much, Miss Rosa, for your time. And we love you, and we thank you.
Oh, and I love you guys, too, and I can't thank you enough. And just keep on giving and just keep on loving. And God will have He will give you what you need. That's what I know, and that's why I sit here now. It's been good, you guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Good
job. I want to hear that.
No, we're not going to play. So it's this, are you sure you're finished? Go hit yes.